We're told that when Joanne Woodward was picking shows to produce one summer, Our Town was an easy choice. Thornton Wilder's play about life and death in turn of the century Grover's Corners, New Hampshire, is one of the most popular works in American theater. What's more, Woodward's husband wanted to play the central narrating role of the stage manager. No small consideration when he is Paul Newman. Most important, Wilder's play seemed uniquely relevant. The September 11 tragedy forced us all to look at the world in a different way, Woodward stated. It reminds us all of the importance of living every moment. After a standing room only run at Woodward's Westport County Country Theater in Connecticut, the production opened December 4, 2002 on Broadway, where it nearly sold out again. Jeremy McCarter continues, "The carpe diem message of Our Town is indeed timely in these uncertain days, but it's hardly new to find it so. When the play premiered in 1938, a New York critic cited its appeal in our present turmoil. Its relevance has been extolled during and after every crisis since. It's easy to imagine, centuries hence, some artistic director solemnly declaring Our Town timely again because the Alpha Centaurians are on the warpath." Wilder's play doesn't just leave audiences with a renewed sense of what he called significance in the trivial acts of life, however. Our Town isn't, after all, the blandly life-affirming Tuesdays with Maury. It generates another response in audiences, a sensation keenly felt and frequently noted, though rarely considered at length. In this reaction lies the true relevance of Wilder's play today, according to McCarter. Though Grover's Corners is grounded in the way New England towns worked at the turn of the century, and to a certain extent when Wilder was writing it in the late 1930s, it is more mythical than historical. The play shows townsfolk proceeding through their daily routines, their marriages, and afterlives without ever becoming fully drawn individuals. Even the leading characters, George Gibbs and Emily Webb, are types. They remain indistinct enough in their courtship and during her premature death, the play's central story, to be almost anyone. For all the textbook information Wilder supplies about the town, longitude and latitude, population, names of noteworthy residents, we never get a complete picture of it. Donald Haberman's scholarly study of Wilder's work quotes the author as saying, "The play ceased to be parochial by dint of using a dramatic method, the absence of scenery, which intimates the universe." McCarter continues, "This mix of history and myth, truth and ideal, gives Wilder's play its emotional punch. It also makes us feel no small affection for the town. Audiences invariably leave the play awash in nostalgia for Grover's Corners and the lives lived there." Critics who like the play praise Wilder for vividly evoking a bygone way of life. Because he set the play almost 40 years before it opened, this has been true since its premiere. Author Willa Cather told Wilder that Our Town made her expatriate friends weep with homesickness. "And yet the town is parochial. Mr. Gibbs is afraid that if he sees Europe, he'll be discontented with Grover's Corners. And Professor Willard says the town is on some of the oldest land in the world, which makes them very proud. They take a chilly attitude toward the intellect. After Joe Crowell goes to college only to die in World War I, the stage manager says, all that education for nothing. George's mother bans books from her table. Apparently, she'd rather her children be healthy than well-read. They keep jobs in the family. George inherits his uncle's farm, and Cy Crowell takes over his brother's paper route. On the whole, says the stage manager, things don't change much around here." That from an essay titled Whose Town? The Relevance of Thornton Wilder's Play Today by Jeremy McCarter in The American Prospect. The new vintage ensemble goes into every production it mounts with such probing questions. Why should we do this piece? Does it matter today? And if it does, What can we do to make sure it does? The new Vintage Ensemble is presenting Our Town this weekend and next at the Scranton Cultural Center. Connor Kelly O'Brien directs, Kimmy Leff is Emily, and Maggie O'Brien takes the role of the stage manager. Maggie and Kimmy paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the questions they've all been asking in keeping with the mission of the new Vintage Ensemble. Maggie O'Brien.
Their mission is to reinvent the familiar and present highly stylized work that's accessible to veteran audiences and newcomers as well.
Some of us have been doing a project for the Scranton Fringe Festival.
Fringe is a great platform to launch new and creative works and take risks. Although we like to stick to classics for our main stage productions, or at least that's what we have to this point, we also are big fans of taking risks and kind of pushing the envelope. Mm.
You just mentioned classics. Our Town is a classic.
Yep. Connor O'Brien, who's directing our production, presented this at a meeting as a group. We try to operate as a democracy, and we have a production process for members to submit ideas for new work. So he put together a proposal and presented it at a meeting that he was passionate about the script and thought it would make a great main stage. It's also the 80th anniversary of its debut on Broadway in 1938. So we thought that would be a good tie-in to celebrate.
I think also with the just kind of how crazy everything is, and that the message of relatability and small town, which is very, this area, very Scranton, very Wilkes-Barre, was just something that I feel like we needed to kind of settle everybody down and connect. Seen it, and what I've been really excited about us and what we're doing is that initially when it was proposed, I was kind of like, ugh, Our Town. Because I remember reading it in high school and having to see it in college, and it was done well, but it just wasn't that exciting. And I loved the idea of taking something that almost stereotypically people are kind of like, meh, and making people excited about it, which is something that I think we've been able to do with all of our main stage productions, Pride and Prejudice, Hamlet, kind of breathing a new life into it. And that's really challenging and keeps you on your toes.
What then distinguishes the vision for this production?
One of the concepts in our proposal process is one of the questions we always ask each other is, why is this story worth telling? And as is our nature, we've done some creative casting and exploring not necessarily gender bending the characters, but allowing female characters to play male roles, because especially back in 1930s when this was written, male roles were written much stronger than the ladies are for many, many years. And that does actresses a disservice, because we don't necessarily get to play these great dynamic characters all the time, these leadership kind of roles, because we were women. So myself, the stage manager is traditionally played by a man. Not that it hasn't been done, but locally, I think it's a nice flip. And our Doc Gibbs character is being played by Sarah Regan. That's traditionally a male role. It's George's father. But the character is traditionally referred to as Dr. Gibbs, Doc Gibbs. It never really references that he's a man. So why couldn't it be a woman, right?
And also the Newsom.
So we're exploring that and kind of encouraging audiences to let the gender fall behind and let the dialogue and the narrative speak for itself, which is exciting. Unlike traditional Our Town productions, we are incorporating, I think, more technical elements. We're still sticking with the traditional Our Town stage design in many ways, but Connor is exploring more technical elements with sound and light and music that I think will bring an extra dimension to the performance.
And I don't think for traditionalists, what we try to do is not just to do something different and wild and crazy for the sake of doing it, but doing it in a way that it still keeps the integrity of what the piece is saying and why it was written, not just doing it to be crazy or different and stand out. I think it's done in a very respectful way that people who are more traditionalist in their theater might be first taken back, but I think once it gets into the story, they're going to fall right in line with it and not even notice it.
I agree. Yeah. And one of the tenets of our mission about making theater accessible for all kinds of people, we take that very seriously in the sense that we want people that normally wouldn't go to theater or think that theater doesn't resonate with them to give us a chance and allow us to help them discover this storytelling platform, that they would not have otherwise been open to by incorporating multidimensional elements.
In creating your characters, then, is it any different than other productions?
I think so. I mean, just overall, the story that we're telling, the way we're telling it is very different. It's just a very different story. It's also very different visually. Yeah, it's kind of its own entity.
My process has been very different for this show. It's been challenging for me in an interesting way because the stage manager is not a character in the play. It's a character in the play, but not a character in the play about the play.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the dialogue and what the stage manager has to say, it does it a disservice to over-dramatize it. And my background is, you know, I'm a character actress. I'm really good at the dramatic and the comedic and hitting the jokes and the funnies. And this isn't what this character does. This character is a guide, is a narrator. It's a conduit to human emotion. And to do that justice, you really need to speak the words plainly and truthfully and kind of just, you know, and you don't want to do it too heavy-handed or, you know, or necessarily even lowball it. So getting comfortable with the dialogue and having faith in the power of the words and modifying my own natural dramatic instincts to not insert my usual flair has been a journey.
I'd agree with Maggie on that. I think especially with us working with people, you know, the ensemble, we've worked together, a lot of other people in the cast, I've been very fortunate to work with, call friends and family. So yeah, there is that like default of funniness that is the good go-to, you know, the familiar go-to that it's been challenging, but fun.
Mm-hmm. You feel I feel a lot of responsibility to do right by this character because it is such a treasured piece. Their iconic roles, you know, and so many people, just through the process of promoting the show and talking to people about the show, the number of people that have told me they've either been in it or seen it or it's their favorite play is huge. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite play. I'll come see it. I'm like, ooh.
So I'm supposed to be, I've like talked to
it's a lot of pressure
that they've never read it. They've never seen it. Like it wasn't required. So that is also pressure. They're like, well, you know, I've heard about it. I've seen a lot of people talk about, but yeah, that wasn't required reading. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to come. Front. And I'm like, whoa, that's pressure as well, because it's their first impression.
You're going to be doing this at the Scranton Cultural Center, and that's a place where you can have a space that's really, really big or quite intimate.
Well, it's in Shopland Hall, so it's in the fourth floor of the Cultural Center, and it is very intimate. It's not a traditional theater space. There's two steps up, and then there's a staged area, but we use a lot of the floor area. There's seating on the side, so it's like stadium seating almost. So we get down right in with everybody and move around. So it's very intimate.
The stage manager is speaking to the audience for like two-thirds of the show. So from my perspective, it's deeply intimate. I mean, I'm having conversations directly with the audience that's only feet away. When we did the homes of the Gibbs and the Webbs, are we're doing those from the floor. So, you know, they're going to be nice up close and personal, which is, I think, the intention of the show. It needs to be intimate because this is a story about intimate moments.
And there's not a lot of, as traditionally, you know, there's not a lot of set props. So I think that adds an element of intimacy is because it's really the actors, the stage. And so like every little movement, whether you're speaking or not, is the setting and is the props and everything for the audience. So yeah. I think that adds another level of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
From what you say, then, we're, as an audience, aware of ourselves in that role as an audience, and yet we're drawn into the intimacy of the action, too.
Oh, yeah.
What I like about the dynamic and how Maggie was saying about it's not a traditional story is I think what makes it even more relatable, I found, is that the stage manager sets up the lessons that she wants you to know, that this is why I'm telling you this story and why it's not your normal, here are these characters and here's the story arc and here's the resolution. There's just very specific points that he wanted to, I think, get across. And so the stage manager is like, here's what I want you to learn. Now I'm going to play it out for you. And in a way that it gets you thinking about how it relates to, a lot of times she'll remind you, remember how it was when you were here, to get you into that moment, and then it's played out to kind of really hammer home the point that she was trying to make, which I totally missed the first time back in college when I saw it. That's what's been interesting for me, is not appreciating it then, and I'm loving it.
Connor had shared with us in the early conversations around our table work, talking about the script, that he what he had learned, that Wilder was very much a student of Eastern philosophy. And he had just come back from...
He lived overseas.
Yeah, he lived overseas, and he had just come back from Asia, I'll be general, at the time that when he wrote this. And it's interesting, as a student, very amateur student of Eastern philosophy, that when you view it from that perspective, you really do pick up on that sense of the Zen and the power of now and being present and mindfulness. And taking it from that point of view, it really has helped me identify those aha moments, which I feel a responsibility to do for the audience, to make sure, like, you get it, you know, because that's the objective. We want people to walk out of here, not necessarily, I want them to walk out thinking that this was a phenomenal production and they had a marvelous time, but the real compliment for us would be for people to go home and then in the following days realize that their problems aren't that bad, and that their troubles are temporary, and life is short, and love and cherish the ones around you, and find joy in the simple moments.
So we're reminded of our mortality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's addressed. I believe I bring that up early on. You know,
yeah,
this is how life works. You know, there are three acts in the written form. We're presenting it in two acts. So in that context, there's the first act is the daily life, the second act is love and marriage, and the third is death. And that's how life works. That's how the play works.
And I love that early on, too, it's set out, like, this is where the play is going, and that there's no ambiguity, here's where we're going.
Yeah, because it's interesting. The perspective is that it's not sad that people die, because that's inevitable. It's sad when they didn't live while they were alive. That's the tragedy.
And I think it shows, too, in the simplicity of when it's set, how easy it is to fall into the everyday and think that, you know, just getting this stuff done around the house, getting up and going to work and coming home and getting through a week, it's easy how all that stuff of life that is necessary creeps in and takes over, and you just get lost in that monotony, and how just the flow of life is so quick, even if you do try to stop and be in the moment, it goes so quick. You know, the challenge of that, and just how easy it is to get lost in the monotony of the day. Is what I also find, that that's a necessity at some points, but you do need to stop.
Kimmy reminds me of one of my favorite lines from the show is the stage manager talking about that, exactly what the trappings of daily life that Kimmy's discussing is, you've got to have life to love life, and you have to love life to have life. It's what they call a vicious circle. And you got to kind of roll that over a little bit and reflect on it and think, it's so beautiful and poetic and heartbreaking at the same time, because it's true. And finding that balance, that's the challenge.
You've used the word universal, and yet we've talked about the sense of intimacy. Is there any kind of cosmic perspective in the way Wilder has put the pieces in place?
I think so. The stage manager very often talks about nature. Each of the acts begins and in some cases ends with a reflection on what's happening with our environment. And the comparisons are really interesting because from the nature perspective, everything's moving very slowly. But here in Grover's Corners, things are moving very quickly. And that those two things can coexist. And again, that balance of finding that middle ground. Mm. It's really interesting. There is not an overt... Well, they do discuss... He does reference church. Church does play a role in this community, although we do identify that there are other churches as well. There is not an incredibly strong God element.
No, especially in the last act, which we had a discussion at one of the rehearsals about, that was, to me, amazing that, again, for the time that it was written, in the third act, there is no religious undertone whatsoever, that like death is death and that's it.
Which is so Eastern, such an Eastern principle. And that I view the stage manager as somewhat of a, not a god, but there's a divine sense to the stage manager's role there. And, you know, it's to provide these differing perspectives and show them how they both affect you as an audience member from all directions. And I think that that's the joy. That's why the stage manager wants to tell the stories. I think that they're fascinated by these human characters having this very human experience. And isn't it adorable? It's beautiful and adorable and hilarious and charming and tragic and sad and heartbreaking and wonderful. And it's all there for the taking. And it's about not bracing for impact for the bad times or necessarily sailing through the good times. It's about all the times and how they're all important.
Maggie O'Brien is the stage manager. Kimmy Leff is Emily in the new vintage ensemble presentation of Our Town, opening tonight and running this weekend and next at the Scranton Cultural Center in Shopland Hall. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Friday, April 27th, tonight, opening night at 8, Saturday, tomorrow night at 8, next Friday, May 4th at 8, Saturday, May 5th at 3 and at 8. So there are two performances on the 5th of May at 3 in the afternoon and again at 8 at night. Shopland Hall in the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple, 420 North Washington Avenue in Scranton. The new vintage ensemble, directed by Connor Kelly O'Brien. Our Town by Thornton Wilder in its 80th anniversary year. For more information, on the web, newvintageensemble.com, newvintageensemble.com. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, and then Saturday, May 5th at 3, and again at 8.